Welcome to Solder Smoke, where we talk about all things electronic and geeky. We meet on Echolink and swap ideas related to workbench radio projects. If you have any questions about this podcast or suggestions for future casts, send a note to soldersmoke@yahoo.com. Our webpage is www.geocities.com/soldersmoke. As always, have fun, melt solder, and pass along your ideas.
KL7R, KL7R. In Juneau, Alaska, this is M0HBR in London. Are you there, Mike?
Yes, I am, Bill, and good morning. We've had a gorgeous day in Juneau. We've had a lot of rain here, and so it's really nice to get some sunshine. Went out to the docks and got a nice king salmon, and so fixing to barbecue some of it tomorrow, and I'm smoking some of it now, so... I'll let you know how the smoked king salmon turns out there, Bill. Go ahead.
Well, that's great, Mike. Yeah, terrific. Yeah, beautiful weather here. Also, the last couple of days have been great. Actually, getting kind of warm here in London, which is unusual. I had the fan blowing in the shack a little while ago, but I figured it would distort or would interfere with the audio coming from my D104 microphone, which I think is probably the only D104 hooked up to the internet at this point. It's Sunday, June 11th, 6:08 British Summer Time, 5:08 GMT. I guess this is the Solder Smoke 26. Glad to hear about the smoked salmon, Mike, but what's happening with the solder smoke in Alaska? KL7R, M0HBR.
Well, I haven't done a lot this week. I spent some time trying to document what I'd done, and it was taking me a long time entering the schematics. So I imagine that's gonna take me another few days to get the schematics in there. I spent some time reorganizing my website and preparing, but that took some time. I haven't actually done a lot of soldering. I made some coax connections for an external antenna, so I can take the connector off of my vertical on the fence out here and run 50 feet of RG 174 over to my lawn swing that's covered, and so I can wire up my little KX1 and play QRP from the backyard whenever the mood strikes there, Bill. Go ahead.
All right. Wow, very good. Yeah, I've been in an antenna mode here also. It's the good weather. And I finally decided that I needed to do something about my antenna situation here. I've been complaining about it here on Solder Smoke for months, I guess. But anyway, I decided to just do something about it yesterday. And so what I did, I had started out here with a vertical antenna. And then I decided that I didn't like verticals too much, so I went with a dipole, a fishing pole dipole. I have a picture of it on my website. It's the same antenna that was over my house in the Azores, and I brought it with me here to London, telescoping fishing poles, and put it up on the roof here in London, and it just didn't get out. It just didn't do it. It's probably because of the way it was oriented and the surrounding buildings and everything else, but it was just pitiful. Looked good, but it didn't radiate at all. Or if it did, it radiated right into the bricks that surrounded it. So I decided that vertical was to go back to vertical. But what I did, I took advantage of the dipole, the horizontal dipole that was already up there, and decided to use that as kind of a good two-element ground plane for a vertical. And I had a third fishing pole, and I just yesterday morning strapped a piece of wire to it with cable ties, went up to the roof, put that thing up so that it's now the vertical element, and I run about 6 feet of 300 ohm twin lead into the kind of entrance area to the roof. I have a little homebrew tea match made out of with a coil wound around a pill bottle with taps, and then it goes from there by coax to the transmitter. And man, I'm telling you, all those old ham radio words of wisdom about the antenna work being the most important, that they were proven true yesterday, Mike, because as soon as I made that change in the antenna, stations that I knew I couldn't possibly work before were coming back to my calls. And in quick succession yesterday, I worked Germany, France, Switzerland, Italy. No, it was great fun, all with the 5-watt ceramic DSB rig. So big antenna progress here at M0HBR. Back to you, Mike. KL7R, M0HBR.
Oh, congratulations. That sounds excellent. And if you're getting out yesterday and today, you've got something right, because band conditions, at least in Alaska, have been pretty rough. I don't know, but I'm thinking there's a geomagnetic storm going on. So if you're getting out now, you're doing great. Yeah, my rule of thumb is if I can see S7 on the meter, I can work them. So, and I've worked them a lot less than that. But if you're getting the guys that you know, used to not be able to get to before, then you're doing great. So this is a 20 meter single band antenna tuner up the hall. And a three drooping ground plane or a flat ground plane there, Bill. M0HBR, KL7R.
Yeah, the ground plane, it'd probably be better if it was drooping a bit, but it's actually pretty horizontal, just because I had the fishing poles for the dipole there. So I just decided to keep it simple and turn those two elements for the horizontal dipole into a ground plane for the thing. And I'm not too worried about what the impedance match is there at the junction between the antenna and the twin lead, because the loss in the twin lead is always so low, you really don't have to worry about it. So the twin lead comes down into this little kind of neat looking homebrew antenna tuner, and then it goes. That's where the match takes place, and get the SWR down to 1:1 there, and so it comes through the I guess an additional maybe 20 feet of coax to the rig. Hey, but Mike, I worked this Italian station yesterday, a very nice guy, and he asked me about the rig, and I started to describe it to him, and I kind of in the course of doing, I realized what a almost completely homebrew project this thing is. I started out by saying, well, the microphone is from an old Sony Walkman, and then it goes into a homebrew rig made mostly from NE602s. There's an outboard 5-watt linear amplifier built out of one single switching MOSFET that wasn't designed for RF service. The speaker is a junked amplified computer speaker. The antenna tuner is made from the coil form on the antenna tuner is a pill bottle, and the antenna is a piece of electrical cord suspended by a fiberglass telescoping fishing pole. Back to you.
Well, you're heartless. Hopefully, this Italian fellow, could speak English well. That would be a lot to digest. Otherwise, yeah, I'm looking on one of the sites I look at, and we're definitely getting blasted by something. Absorption's pretty high, and at least in Alaska, the MUF is below 20 meters, and above 5 megs, so pretty limited range there. Maybe 10 megs would be the only band you could work. Maybe 40 meters right now. I've been listening. I heard a couple signals on 20, and just really, really pretty rough. No QRC signal. So, well, congratulations. Yeah, I didn't understand how you supported your the vertical element. I understood the two horizontals were fishing poles, but I thought you used a third fishing pole for yet another ground. So you had three ground radials, and then I didn't understand how you were supporting the vertical element. So. Yeah, well, excellent. I'm such a big fan of horizontal wire antennas that I've been really it's been really hard for me to accept that my vertical on the fence out here, which is basically an old 5-band trap vertical from Hustler, actually works better for me than any of my other antennas on 40 meters. So that vertical actually works better on 40. My horizontal loop works better on everything else, except for I built a miracle antenna, which is basically a three halfways in phase for 20 meters. So, and that thing doesn't work very well on 20 meters, but it for some reason it's my best antenna on 80 meters when conditions are awful. If conditions are good, then my horizontal 80 meter loop works best. So I have a few. And anyway, my point is that as I'm starting to appreciate verticals. They have to be far enough away from my house that the one far enough away from my house and on the fence works really well. The one right next to my house and supporting my horizontal loop has worked well for me on 60 meters as a transmit antenna, but never has done as well as my loop as a receive or a transmit antenna on other bands. So, kind of long-winded there, Bill. Yeah, it's really warm today. We hit 80, so I imagine working on your roof over there was something. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah, I've always been a horizontal wire antenna guy myself. The one I really liked was the version of this this dipole that I had up in the Azores, and again, it's on the www.gadgeteer.us site. There's a picture of it up there. But I put a little TV rotor on this thing and could spin it around, and it was great fun. I've never had a real beam antenna, but this was a one element bidirectional beam with no gain over a dipole. But it was fun. I could null signals out a bit by putting them off the end. And I'd sit there with a great circle map of the U.S. out there in the Azores. The Azores is a great place for ham radio. We'll have to talk about that more sometime. But out there in the middle of the North Atlantic. And it was a great place for verticals because, you have this huge saltwater ground plane all around you. And I stuck up a 20-meter vertical there. I'd worked the world with that thing. It was great. And I just don't think that the... that this is a good area for the horizontal antennas because, well, the way I have to have it situated, most of my potential contacts are off the ends, which doesn't help, and the lobes are going straight into surrounding buildings, so bad on both counts. So back to the vertical. And, I know it's been an immediate improvement. I knew it was going well when I first hooked up the tuner. I had the receiver on, and it immediately sparked to life, and I just twisted the knobs a little bit, and then I got the really strong peak, checked the SWR, and I was able to bring it down to 101, and first couple calls have produced GISOs. So, good day. Yeah, 20 was in good shape here in the morning yesterday. That's when I made these contacts, I guess, sort of late morning. And I just went over to the bench, and listen a bit. Let's go over there. This is like in one of those carpentry shows on TV. You know, the Yankee workshop. Let's go over to the bench. Yeah, but I've got the receiver on. I'll just tune around 20. Let's see if we get anybody. Of course, Murphy's Law. He's not too strong. Let's see. I throw the switch and go to a different tuning range. Some activity here. Italians. Let's see. Not too strong. But there were some strong signals on before. He had changed the tuning range again. What I'm doing is I'm switching in and out a ceramic resonator. Yeah, you're right. 20's not too great right now. Maybe later on in the show we'll hear some more. Now, KL7R, M0HBR.
Yeah, great, Bill. Well, you're hearing more than I am. We get pretty rough when there's a geomagnetic storm. We get pretty rough absorption up here, and I'm fairly south. I'm in southeast Alaska. The guys up in Anchorage, and especially the guys in Fairbanks, and the guys north up on the north slope there, it's really rare to even hear those guys. So it can be pretty hardcore to be a ham in Alaska, especially the farther north you go. Guys spend a lot of effort on their antennas up here, and even so, it's difficult. Well, I did. I'm looking at your site, and I'm looking at your antenna and your little portable 20 meter DSB rig and assorted natural wonders there, and I'm also looking at your kite aerial photography, which I'd looked at before, and I did make a Scott sled out of black visqueen and a split piece of lath, and I almost got it to fly. We haven't had much wind, so anyway, I did that. So I did a little antenna work. I did a little soldering on coax. Not a whole lot here. It's taken me quite a bit of time to enter that schematic on the software I have here. So it'll be a couple of days. Back to you there, Bill. M0HBR. Hey, I'm sorry about the last solder smoke. I was trying to record or play back some of the audio that I had recorded before, and so I stopped the recording in Echolink and tried to play back a WAV file, and apparently forgot to start recording again. So I had to phony up an ending there on the last solder smoke 25. But I did get some audio out there. Go ahead, M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah, well, don't worry about it, Mike. That was, I think, our first technical difficulty on solder smoke. So, there you go. I got the receiver. That's the double sideband receiver playing in the background. I'm not sure where they're from. But, there we go. Anyway, kind of fun to have some QRM as surrealism. Yeah, well, fine on the Scott sled. I had great luck with it. I found my the design for my Scott sled in the pages of Sprat, and I just scaled it up a bit. And you got to be careful because I scaled mine up to, as you can see, it's about 5 feet tall. Man, that thing will produce some lift. I mean, scary lift. It's really something. And yeah, it was fun to carry the camera up. I'm going to try to fly that thing over London here sometime. Got to get a better camera to hook on it, and I need a better reel for the cord. But we'll work out something in that area. Hey, you mentioned something before. I wanted to ask you about. You're using RG174. Isn't that a bit lossy? I mean, that's that little tiny coax. Is there any reason why you're using that? And I guess it depends on the band. I guess it wouldn't be that bad on 40 meters, but I think you start getting a little bit lossy on that, don't you? KL7R, M0HBR.
You do, but in this case, I didn't care. I never use RG174. Okay, other than for my BNC jumper wires on the bench here. But I had 50 feet of it, and it was for a special purpose. I wanted to run it from my antenna to my swing in the backyard. I've used all kinds of twin lead drive of my horizontal loop and things like that. I wanted to have a little bit of easy to throw, easy to store RG174 for the purpose of hitching my vertical to my swing in the backyard, and the secondary purpose of that coax was to reach from my antenna connections in the shack here out to my Lazy Boy recliner in the living room, or possibly back to the horizontal operating position in the bedroom. I was thinking of possibly carrying my KX1 back into the bedroom and putting on a pair of headphones and seeing if I could operate without waking my wife up. Bill, M0HBR, KL7R. What are you using for the longerons on your Scott sled? I didn't notice you'd built a Scott sled. I noticed I saw the pictures, but I didn't realize you'd built it's basically the same thing. Oh, you built yours out of garbage bags. Oh, fishing poles. Okay. Back to you there, Bill. Go ahead.
Yeah, just about everything here is built out of fiberglass fishing poles, Mike. I found a bunch of these things at a tackle shop in the Azores, and I must have bought 5 or 6 of them, and it was one of my smartest ham radio purchases because they're very, very useful stuff and useful things, I guess, with telescoping fiberglass fishing poles, some duct tape, and WD-40. You could build pretty much everything you need. But yeah, mine is scaled up really well, and it flew fine, and it's an amazing kite, and I had fun with it, and I still have it sitting right here right now. I put a big orange tail on it, and it's all just literally just garbage bags, duct tape, and the fishing poles. You got to make sure the fishing poles are really extended and snap in well, or else. Because it's not good when this thing's flying for one of them to suddenly de-telescope on you, which has happened a couple of times. The camera takes a beating, but heck, we got some good pictures. I'm sure my 555 timer circuit there is less than optimal. I just sat down one morning and figured out, well, how are we going to do this? And I started hacking away at it. So it's a real hack or a real kludge, I guess would be the term. But up it went. It took those pictures. I thought that was pretty cool. Fun. Now, of course, what we need to do is have a radio-controlled camera up there. And that'd be real simple. Just come up with a little crystal-controlled receiver, crystal-controlled transmitter. So it'd be kind of cool to be on the ground and just, you know, when you see the kite sort of positioned where you want it, hit the picture button. That'd be fun. Yeah. Anyway, a lot of potential there, kite aerial photography. I thought I was the only insane person in the world doing this when I started, and then I did like a Google search on kites photographs and discovered an entire subculture out there of similarly afflicted geeks building this stuff. Hey, proving that Murphy's Law is still in effect. As soon as I got the new good antenna up for 20 meters, I said, man, let me fire up that HW8 and work some DX on CW. My HW8 has gone deaf on me. I'm not sure what it is. I haven't really started troubleshooting it yet, but the receiver is definitely in the insensitive category now, so I've got to fix that thing. But, not here. Let's see. Maybe I'll go over to the workbench again and play some with the double sideband rig to let people hear what 20 sounds like at this time of the morning in London. What else? I've been playing a little bit with LT Spice, but we can talk about that on the next go around. KL7R, M0HBR.
Well, I have no input on your HW8. Maybe one of your tuning coils just got bounced and just jumped out of tune or something. Maybe you just peek your tuning coil. I'm looking at your Scott sled, and it's got a tail. I didn't think a tail was necessary. You'll have to tell me if the tail was necessary on your kite or if it was just cool. I'm looking also at your artwork. Your stick man holding the kite string is funny. And I have seen the photos you had before. I just never saw the other stuff here. Bill, go ahead.
Hey, I'm glad you like the Stickman figure. That's I took my lead from the great Japanese radio amateur JF1OZL. He has that great site with all the hand-drawn schematics. I really like that. I think it's pretty cool. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure the Solder Smoke listeners. There's another station coming through on 20 DSB. If you notice on that little hand-drawn picture there, there's an umbrella behind me, and that's where my wife and kids were. Where I got maybe hiding as I performed this really weird experiment. And actually, in the pictures, if you look at the pictures at the top of the page, you'll see this little orange beach umbrella kind of behind me to the left, and that's where my my family was trying to hide their identities as I took this kite and for some reason suspended it over the beach dwellers. Yeah, the HW8, I think, I don't know, it might need a spray of deoxid at some point in one of the relays, or I might have done damage to the transistors in the front end. It sounds front-end-ish to me, and I don't think it's just a little bit out of alignment. It's like really deaf, so I'm going to have to play with that a little bit. But that's fun. I had a friend of mine at Hamfest's, if he found a rig, and the guy said that it's not working, he would look up and say, oh, well, I pay extra for that. It's fun to fix them. KL7RM0HBR.
Yeah, Roger. I usually, if I can detach myself from the value and just make the restoration a fun project in itself, then I do fine. If I think about, oh, no, it's my beautiful HW8 and I've killed it, you know, sometimes I'll take like a 20-year hiatus from ham radio over that. I managed to do that I took a 20-year break from ham radio after killing a perfectly good ICOM 701. I didn't really kill it. I just sort of it was sort of dead. It was mostly dead. So what is the is this thing? Is the Scott's LEDs fly at fairly high overhead? I can't tell from your photos. Is it flying like 45 degrees overhead or higher than that? It looks like it's flying, you know, maybe 70 degrees up. If so, that'd be really a good flying antenna. I've flown kite. My wife bought a number of these, a couple of these parafoils. And they've got like little tubes that inflate and make like a semi-rigid form, like a new style parachuter parachute. And that thing does not fly very high, but man, it generates a lot of lift. it flies like maybe 20 degrees or maybe 30 degrees off the horizon, little 2 foot. Parafoil, I bet pulls 50 pounds. You know, some guys use them to pull their kayaks around downwind and across the wind. They generate so much pull. But I think the sleds flew fairly high. You might fill me in on that, Bill. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot to answer your question about the tail. Yeah, they do fly very high. We had real good, strong, stiff winds in the Azores, and so it was a good place for that. And that might be the fact that they fly high might be why they've been sort of the kite of choice for antenna flyers. I've never used it for that, but I think it would be good for that. And I think at one point Marconi was using a similar design. I remember seeing pictures of the kites that he used. And they look sort of Scott Sledish, although I think Scott Sled was actually invented by Scott much later. I put a tail on mine because in the stiff winds at the Azores, if there was a gust, the thing had a tendency to kind of flip over. and you kind of dive for the ground as kites sometimes do. So putting a little bit of weight on the bottom gave it more stability. Plus, it looked really cool. This big, long, 15-foot orange tail underneath this thing. It's a menacing-looking thing. It looks like this. Doesn't look like one of these friendly little, Delta kites with eyes and colors on it and everything else. It's this big black thing flying over there, and of course the electronic apparatus hanging from the bottom of it makes it look even more ominous. If I ever fly this thing over London, I'm probably going to be arrested by their equivalent of Homeland Security here. The Home Office is going to come after me. It's going to look like some sort of sinister device flying over central London. So I could be in trouble. But, yeah. I know what you mean about the frustrations of destroying rigs. And when I first got into this thing, into ham radio as a kid, you'd get into a whole lot of technical trouble, and I found myself every once in a while saying, why am I doing this? But of course you get through it. Let's see, there was some real strong Italian stations coming through here a second ago. Let's see. Italians are good. There they are, hold on. There's one strong. Yeah, it's a strong one. He's on a contest, yeah. That's a CQ contest in Italy, Italian. You can hear how I get the lows on this thing, too, because, of course, no filters. There you go. All right, some live audio. KL7R, M0HBR.
That thing really impresses me, Bill, M0HBR, KL7R. It sounds like a VFO. It moves a lot farther in frequency than I expect from a VCO. So not a VCO, but a VXO. That's really impressive. I've actually looked on DigiKey for 14 meg ceramic resonators and have not been able to find them. So you might. Maybe finding a source for the high end of 20 meters ceramic resonators would be a really good thing to do there.
Yeah, I get the with the two ceramic resonators, I have a frequency range of 60 kilohertz around 14. Above and below 14.3, which is really good. It's plenty of room, and far better than what I would have gotten with crystals. Plus, they're cheap. They're like 50 cents a piece. I got mine from the GQRP Club store. The Battle is back of Sprat magazine. It's probably also on the website. They have them, and I got mine from them, and. It's really something. It's not quite as stable as real crystals, and I find that if I leave this thing on to one station over a long period of time, there'll be a little bit of drift there, but it's certainly better than what you get from a VFO operating at 14.3 megahertz. And it's fun. And the 20 does seem to be opening up this morning, Mike. Let's see. I think we covered all the peg questions and the DEF HW8. And back to you, KL7R, M0HBR.
All right, Bill. I've never. I don't know how it is ordering overseas. I don't know if that's a big problem or not. I don't know if you have to pay. I have no idea how that works. So maybe I'll write a note to GQRP Club and maybe get. Maybe get four of them and see how it might be. Wouldn't it be interesting to do what we did with the warbler receiver, Red Lantern or whatever we're going to call that thing? I wonder if it'd be possible to do a VXO wide range and a rubber of the ceramic resonators, also tracking with the VFO. Be interesting to see if that would work. I have no idea if that would work, but it'd be a fun experiment. You might have to have two knobs, you know, one for the VFO and one for the single sideband filter. I think you could do it with a couple of ceramic resonators. Anyway, get more of your power onto one sideband, even if you didn't get it all onto one sideband. Well, not a lot going on here, Bill. I will try and get the schematic finished and posted. I did put up a photograph of the I'm going to call it the Red Lantern. Make it easy on myself. It's not the completed one. It's just the transmit chain. It's before I have the receiver in there. I think I'm out of subject here today. Go ahead.
KL7R M0HBR.
Well, I'm about done too. I was going to talk about the LT Spice, but we can leave that for next week. Nick Kennedy and I have had some interesting email exchanges on LT Spice and modeling AB amps and all, but we don't want to make this too long. We try to keep it about a half hour, which I think is good for the folks who are listening as they commute, which brings us to Solder Smoke Mailbag. Got a long mailbag this week because of last week's technical difficulties, Mike, but we'll just catch up here. First, big news. Solder Smoke is now being carried by the world-famous Papakura Radio Club in Papakura, New Zealand, over the ZL1 VK conference server on Echolink. These guys have a really excellent repeater system that's on Echolink. You'll see ZL1 VK, ZL1 VKR, and every once in a while they have ZL1 VKL. And Nigel, my friend Nigel, ZL2 SEA, is the sysop down there, and he got with the fellow who runs the conference server and has put, I think, 10 issues of Solder Smoke on their server. So I checked it out this morning. You link to it, and there's a series of commands that you can go through, and sure enough, I put in the right sequence of commands, and your melodious voice started coming out the speaker all the way from New Zealand. So that's pretty cool. I think people on ordinary on repeaters down there can somehow access it too. And every once in a while, I think the repeater plays these programs. I'm thinking that we could make Solder Smoke available for clubs that want to put something on the repeater in the evening, and that'd be fine. So anyway, I was real pleased that it's on the ZL1 VK machine. ZL1 VK, by the way, is really cool because when you click on ZL1 VKR on Echolink, you get this really great greeting, and the greeting is by bird calls from New Zealand, and they change the bird calls very frequently, and over time you become familiar with the sounds of the wildlife from New Zealand. So I recommend it. Listen, we also have a nice email from John at G4GOY, recently acquired an iPod, and I replied just kind of in a fun way, saying, "Yeah, the iPod, a nice rig, John." It's and I just said that because I think it's wild that that folks are listening to ham radio conversations on iPods. It's certainly a different kind of rig. Terry WA0ITP writes that he was at 4 days in May at a big QRP event, and he ran. Speaking of the GQRP club, he ran into George Dobbs, the leader of GQRP and the editor of Sprat, and Terry passed along our regards to George. I'm sure everyone had a good time at FBIM. Jerry, AA6KI, sent us a really excellent podcasting cartoon. It's about a podcast, I guess, similar to ours, Mike. It's called Lamp Talk. I posted it on my blog, on the Gadgeteer blog, and you can get there from the my website. It's www.gadgeteer.us, and there's a link there to the blog. I think our listeners would get a kick out of that. Mark KA6 WKE told us that solder smoke has caused him to stop listening to talk radio, which I guess is a good thing. And Mark, we're glad you're listening. We're glad you made the big switch to solder smoke. David, G7WAW, writes that tells us that he listens while he is engaged in the manufacture of jet aircraft fan blades at the Rolls-Royce facility here in the UK. David also comments that he does get aircraft scatter on 2 meters. This is something we've been talking about a while back. Steve, WB8WSF, sent us a very nice email discussing some of the technical aspects of software used to listen to solder smoke. But one of my favorite comments of the week came from Ray Benitez, the M0DHP, and Ray writes to tell us that solder smoke is, quote, the best thing to happen to podcasting since podcasting. KL7R, M0HBR.
Excellent, Bill. Okay, Bill, well, best to you, and have a good weekend. Have a good Sunday there. We're having this gorgeous weather. I'm noticing here as I touch my arms, I got a little touch of the sun, so I may limit my exposure there tomorrow. 73 from Juneau, M0HBR, KL7R.
Wow, Alaskan sunburn. Wow. This global warming thing must be serious, Mike. 73KL7R. Have a good one, M0HBR.